Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Ooh-rah! I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel, filling in for the Colonel as he vacations in sunny California. And as you know, when the Colonel's away, the non-coms will play. So we're going to have a good time today, but don't worry, the Colonel will be back next week all rested up and ready to defend America from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Troops, last week, we watched video of yet more rioting in Philadelphia. You know, the city of brotherly love. But I wasn't seeing any love. It reminds me of that pop song back in 1972, sung by Roberta Flack and Donnie Hathaway. In the song, she kept asking, "Where is the love?" over and over. 8 times, I think. And now, I look at all the Democrat-run cities across the country, at all the looting and burning and violence, and I have to ask the same question, where is the love? Folks, this criminal outcome was predictable. When you defund the police and demonize them, then you won't be able to recruit good new officers, and all the veterans will retire early. Until the Dem-run cities change their policies, then things will continue to get worse. So, if you live in a big city, better hunker down for the long haul and do what you can to protect your family. More about that later. Well, I thought we'd add a feminine touch while the Colonel's gone, so joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is my wife and junior co-host, Sarah Coriel. Sarah, so tell the listeners how incredible it is to be married to a Marine Corps veteran.
Honey, are you sure you want me to answer that on national radio?
Well, maybe not. Let's move right along. Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Noncom, I'm going to discuss an old movie from 1984 and use its message to encourage all of us in these crazy hard times. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Just ahead, we'll talk with Army Ranger and best-selling author John Lovell from the Warrior Poet Society about his new book, The Warrior Poet Way. Then I'll talk to Doug Giles, author of the new book, Lionhearted, Making Young Christian Males Rowdy Biblical Men. Then Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games. Of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. I'd appreciate it if you would also go to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter and join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for News and Comment by the Noncom on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. What do you have for us today, Sarah?
West Point graduates have become aware of a questionable statement from the USMA superintendent when he was speaking to a Board of Visitors meeting in March. Dr. Jerry Kobylski, Director of Institutional Effectiveness, provided an update on USMA's ongoing internal assessments to include the honor code and lines of effort. Lieutenant General Gilland added that USMA was considering simplifying the mission statement so people could better understand what the Academy does and reviewing the honor code to make it more aspirational in nature. The exact words of the honor code are really quite simple. A cadet will not lie, cheat, steal, or tolerate those who do. The definitions of the words aspire, aspirational, to seek to attain or accomplish a particular goal. So, is the superintendent saying adherence to the West Point Honor Code is something cadets can no longer achieve, but can only hope to try to achieve? A cadet can very much hope and desire, strive for the high value of not lying, cheating, or stealing, but this lofty goal may be too hard to reach. One West Point grad said that aspirational honor is code for the fact that DOD, the Army, and the Academy find the Honor Code slogan inconvenient and not an ethical or moral imperative.
I think this is outrageous, and all West Point grads need to voice their opinions to the Academy and to their Congress critters. We live in a world with moral absolutes, and the Cadet Code recognizes that. Is it possible that the superintendent doesn't believe in this code, or that he simply believes that the code is impossible to live up to, so it should be modified? I don't really know, but perhaps, just perhaps, and I'm just a non-com here, not an officer and a gentleman, could it be that the superintendent is making it possible for cadets to lie and still be cadets? Here's an example that comes to mind. A male cadet with male body parts insists on being called a female. That cadet in reality is living a lie and insisting that all other cadets and instructors live the lie with him. If the cadet code allows for lying, well, then I guess that would be okay. The superintendent should get with the real world where natural law reigns. After all, our enemies, like China and Russia, don't put up with all this woke nonsense, and neither should we. They are getting stronger while America is getting weaker and more confused.
In 2018, a Marine general who heads the service's training command wrote about his concern that the pursuit of ensuring fair and equitable opportunity had allowed a female Marine candidate demonstrating dangerously poor performance to continue a key course. This could have resulted in a mishap, Major General Kevin Iams, the commanding general of the Marine Corps Training and Education Command, wrote in an email to other Marine Corps officers. The candidate was undertaking the Corps' grueling 15-week infantry officer course. Colonel Mark Klingon, the commanding officer of the basic school, gave the following summary of her performance. During a 6.45-mile hike with a 115-pound load, the female Marine student fell a couple of hundred meters behind during the last 2 miles of the march. During the combat endurance test, she had trouble climbing a rope a second time on a double obstacle course, Klingon's email detailed. She also failed several tests during the CET that she had previously taken, the email reads. At a basic skills live fire event, she demonstrated the inability to manipulate her weapon and completely failed to clear a bolt override malfunction at the malfunction test station. She also could not provide proper direction coaching to get her classmate on target during the buddy pair night live fire shoot. She was unable to keep the barrel of her M4 and M203 out of the dirt and had to be told to clear the dirt out of her muzzle before continuing, a problem that could cause bullet fragments to go in unpredictable directions, potentially causing injury. The female candidate missed badly with her rocket and two 40mm rounds. Ultimately, she was unable to properly employ any of her weapon systems and assess her surroundings, the email reads. During a squad attack live fire event, she was labeled a safety violator after she failed to appropriately clear her barrel mask while conducting fire and movement and consequently fired 3 rounds directly into the SACON structure in front of her and had to be stopped by a safety officer.
Wow, I almost don't know what to say about this, but I'm going to push myself and say it anyways. Why was this woman even considered as an infantry officer candidate? Is it possible that she was given a special consideration simply because of her gender? And isn't that the definition of sexism? Very few women have what it takes physically and emotionally to operate in a life or death combat scenario for prolonged periods of time. If you can't meet the battle requirements of an enlisted infantry Marine, then why would you be considered a candidate to lead an infantry company as an officer? This is getting ridiculous, and it's unsafe.
The Navy is asking the National Marine Fisheries Service to modify its regulations to allow for more injuries to marine mammals during Pacific training. The NMFS authorizes the Navy a calculation of the number of times the government believes Navy operations could result in marine life getting harassed, injured, or killed in a certain area, even if sailors are working to mitigate the impact. The Navy's current operating permit for its Hawaii Southern California Training and Testing Study Area expires in 2025 and allows up to 3 large whales to be killed in ship strikes, fatal collisions at sea. As of 2023, the Navy has hit that limit through incidents off Southern California. But in a public legal notice posted online to the Federal Register, the agency said the Navy has asked the NMFS to retroactively amend the regulations to allow for 2 more fatal ship strikes to large whales before the permit expires. However, the fact that the service asked for permission to change regulations to allow for more has drawn criticism from environmental watchdog groups. The Navy's main response to hitting and killing whales is to ask for permission to harm more whales. It's nonsensical and extremely disappointing, said Kristen Monsell, legal director at the Center for Biological Diversity's Oceans Program.
Hey, Kristen, here's a news flash for you. When a whale, as big as it is, swims in front of an aircraft carrier, hey, you're going to hear a splat and the whale's going to die. Listen, I love whales as much as the next meat eater, but there's a simple solution. Have a nearby destroyer take the carcass into tow, and our sailors can eat the whale over the next few days. That way, nothing goes to waste. Seems to me the Navy is doing all they can to miss the whales, and that should be enough. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things that we do. Check CVAfrontlines.com. That's CVAfrontlines.com. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the non-com, then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with Army Ranger John Lovell about his best-selling book, The Warrior Poet Way. At ease, troops, take a break.
As veterans, we at Concerned Veterans for America know defending freedom comes at a high cost. Our lawmakers should consider that cost when they send troops to war.
If wars don't serve our national interest, our brave men and women shouldn't be deployed into harm's way. Our troops should not be in combat because Congress doesn't want to make tough decisions about military engagement.
Find out how you can join the movement to end our nation's endless wars at CVAfrontlines.com. That's CVAfrontlines.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. I'm often asked, at what age should you start teaching your kids about guns? There's no magic age, as all kids are different. The most important thing is to teach them gun safety. Teach them never to touch a gun unless mom or dad are supervising. And always keep your guns locked up in a quality gun safe where kids can't get to them. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. And now it's time for comments by the non-com. When the blockbuster movie The Natural was released on May 11, 1984, it was widely acclaimed as one of the best baseball movies of all time and was nominated for 4 Oscars. However, despite the critical and public acclaim, this movie had less to do with baseball and more to do with life. Perhaps that is why The Natural is a great movie. It's a story that moves us. Sitting in a cafe in 1939, reminiscing about their childhood together, Roy Hobbs, played by Robert Redford, and Iris Gaines, played by Glenn Close, talk about what has happened since they were kids and all the unexpected curves that life has thrown at them. What happened to you, Roy? My life didn't turn out the way I expected. That was an understatement. Here he was, the great Roy Hobbs, the most talented player that baseball had ever known, and he had spent the last 16 years of his life as a drifter, accomplishing nothing with his incredible God-given talents. Have you ever felt like Roy Hobbs? I have, and on more than one occasion, I've asked myself, "What happened to you, Skip?" And my answer is always the same. My life didn't turn out the way I expected. It's a universal truth, one that runs deep in the race, deep in the grain of our existence. Some of us plan, some of us don't. But in the end, it all seems so futile. Because when our lives near their end and we sit back in our rockers and look behind through the decades of our life, very little went according to our schedule and our plan. It would seem, perhaps, that life has a mind of its own. Later in the movie, in the hospital, after the doctor tells Roy that he can never play baseball again without risking his life, Iris visits his bedside. Doc says, "I have to quit playing baseball." "Why?" "Some mistakes, I guess, we never stop paying for." And it's true. I can look at my own life and recognize the crossroads, the misturns, the places where I went astray. Sometimes I knew I was screwing up, while at others, I was totally blindsided. Early on, I was just plain, young, and dumb. Roy Hobbs sits up in his bed talking to his old friend Iris with only a few pillows to prop him up. He is all but beaten. "Things sure turned out different." "In what way?" Roy shakes his head in confusion. "Different. For 16 years, I've lived with the idea that I could have been the best in the game." Iris beams at him happily. "But you're so good now." "I could have been better. I could have broke every record in the book." Ira seems disappointed by Roy's answer, and her smile fades away before replying, "You know, I believe we have two lives." "How? What do you mean?" "The life we learn with, and the life we live with after that. With or without the records, they'll remember you. Think of all those young boys you've influenced. There's so many of them." The moral of the story? Well, it's the bottom of the ninth, two men on base, two outs, and Roy Hobbs is up to bat. He is wounded with blood seeping from his left side, while a young farm boy from Nebraska is attacking him with the fastest baseball in the league. There are two strikes against him, and Roy can barely stand. Tension is in the air as lightning strikes off in the distance. Roy settles in, the windup, the pitch. Roy swings one final time, and the ball sails out of the park. When all is said and done, Roy Hobbs is right. Some mistakes stay with us the rest of our lives, but that's okay. We all make mistakes. The bigger question is, what are you going to do with those mistakes? Are you going to walk back to the dugout defeated, or are you going to hunker down and take the pitch that life has to give you? Take it from a man who has swung and missed. If you're going to go down, then go down swinging. Never give up. Life is like baseball, but you're not limited to only three strikes. You can stand up there and swing as many times as you want. God has a plan for your life, but when you screw that one up, don't worry. He has a plan B, and a plan C, and a plan, well, you get the idea. God is tenacious, and he'll never give up on you, so don't you give up on him. And those are my comments for today. This is Marine Vet Skip Coryell. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. We get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby now. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
A Texas jury has awarded nearly $2.5 million to an Army reservist. Former Army Captain Leroy Torres lost his job as a Texas State Trooper after he developed an illness caused by exposure to burn pits while serving overseas. Torres filed a lawsuit in 2017, charging that the state denied his request to remain on the force in an administrative capacity, which should have been an accommodation for his service-related disability. Instead, he was forced to retire and then denied the disability retirement pension from the state. The Texas Department of Public Safety argued that it couldn't be sued in the case without giving consent to being sued, a permission that is only granted by state legislator. The case made its way all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, which sided with Torres, sending the case back to Texas. The six-person jury ruled unanimously in Torres's favor that the state of Texas violated the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Act. You know, Torres and his wife, Rosie, led a decades-long fight for recognition of burn pits as a health risk and for a landmark legislation to provide benefits for sick and veterans. Torres deployed in 2007 to Iraq, where he was assigned to Joint Base Balad, the site of one of the largest burn pits. The burn pits were used to dispose of waste generated by the facility, from everyday trash to medical waste, electronics, batteries, plastics, and more. Torres ended up developing constrictive bronchiolitis, a condition that destroys the smallest airways in the lungs, causing difficulties breathing, and leaving those affected with it exhausted. He was also later diagnosed with traumatic brain injury and an autoimmune disorder. As a result of his health conditions, which weren't recognized by the Department of Veterans Affairs as service-related, De Torres has founded Burn Pit 360, an advocacy group focused on raising awareness of the dangers of burn pits and veterans sickened by them. In the early days of their organization, the Torreses traveled to Washington, D.C., often joined by just a handful of other veterans with illnesses they believed were caused by burn pit exposure. As more veterans became sick, Burn Pit 360 began documenting their illnesses and pushing for health care and benefits for those former service members. And by presenting a united front with many other veteran service organizations, the burn pit advocates were able to get the PAC Act passed. More than 1 million disability claims have been filed under the PACT Act since it was signed in August 2022. The legislation designated nearly two dozen illnesses as presumed to be related to exposure to burn pits and other battlefield environmental pollutants. It makes those afflicted with illness eligible for expedited health care and disability payments. You know, I find it very disappointing that a state government thinks they don't have to follow federal law and protect our reserve and guard members' jobs when they deploy. But you gotta love how the Torres has responded by advocating for other veterans. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Skip.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Army Ranger and best-selling author John Lovell from the Warrior Poet Society about his new book, The Warrior Poet Way. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. You are standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to hit the punching bag. Give it 50 good hits as hard as you can. Take a break and give it 30 more for good measure. Then stand at ease.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Ooh-rah! Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. And now, folks, we have got a very special guest, an Army Ranger, John Lovell, from Warrior Poet Society. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom.
Thanks for having me on, Skip.
Oh, it is an honor. Yeah, John, when normally I don't get nervous when I'm interviewing someone because, you know, I've interviewed like 2-star generals, 3-star generals, admirals, everybody, and I never get nervous with them. But with you, I'm nervous.
I'm a scary, scary guy, man. I'm just kidding. Nah, chill, bro. I'm a regular dude. I appreciate it, man.
I think it's because I respect you so much. I've been, you know, listening to you, Warrior Poet Society, for years, all of your videos, your training stuff, and it's just awesome. You do a fantastic job. But before we get headed too far down that path, it's a military talk show. So tell us about your time in the military.
Sure. So I got in right as the towers were falling. I went through infantry, basic AIT stuff, and then I went through jump school. It was when I was in airborne hold where we got news that the towers fell. And so after making it through airborne and scary program called RIP, that's Ranger Indoctrination Program, now renamed to something infinitely lamer, RASP, Ranger Assessment Selection Program. So just an aside here, RIP is the cooler name,
yeah,
and we should have stuck with it. Anyway, made it through RIP, and then from there went to Ranger Battalion. This would be 2nd Ranger Battalion, 75th Ranger Regiment. This is out in Washington State, and my first day in Ranger Battalion, packed for war. And so it was not long. My memory is fuzzy. Now we're dealing with something, I mean, absolute early GWAT, as early as you can get. I don't remember whether I was at BAT for a month or three, but we deployed pretty darn quickly and shuttled me off to war. I would do multiple tours, 4 to Afghanistan, 1 to Iraq in the early years of GWAT, which is where the tempo was really hot. And it was really more of a special operations driven war. So we were traveling constantly at the speed of human intelligence, signal intelligence, where we're constantly trying to wrap up high-value targets. Got pretty used up, got in a bunch of close scrapes, and after that, was very excited to ETS after my 5 tours and get on and move on to do warrior poet things and a whole host of other stuff. So That'll speak to my military time.
This is Skip Coriel. We're speaking with John Lovell, a former Army Ranger on Front Lines of Freedom, and we're discussing Warrior Poets Society. So, John, where did you buy your retirement property? In Afghanistan or in Iraq? What did you choose?
A retirement. But you mean, so it wasn't retirement property. I had just dreams of the civilian world. You know, you're just over there sucking it up in the sandbox and it's just not a lot of morale. This is back before we had like showers and tents set up at forward operating bases. It's just skeletonized HESCO barriers with concertine wire. These were not inviting places. And so, you start dreaming about something soft and pretty to settle down with and marry. And so I had dreams. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go back to college. I'm going to get a duplex and I'm going to rent out one side to help offset my mortgage. And I know this wasn't a grandiose idea, but it was seemed practical to me. And so that's what I held on to. And when I got out of the military, that's exactly what I did. A little tiny duplex.
Yeah. Well, John, your book, The Warrior Poet Way, I just love that book. And I'm no stranger to books. I mean, I'm a Marine, but I can read, I can write, my knuckles don't drag on the ground, and I don't eat crayons. So, but you did just a fantastic job with that book. I listened to the audiobook, and I've recorded like six of my own audiobooks, right?
Wow.
But and it's a challenge. But I tell you, you nailed it. When I was listening to that, it's like you were right there in front of me. And it's like you were just talking to me. When I do an audiobook, it's like, oh, he's reading a script, right? You did it. You nailed it. You did it absolutely perfect. So my hat's off to you on that one, John.
Thank you. You know, I spent a couple years pulling this book forward and lots of things you wrote in the moment. You're like, that's great. And then you go back and I'm like, it's trash. I'm starting over. And so I had all this where I'm just kind of just bleeding over this work for a couple years. And when it was time to do the audiobook, I knew I wanted to do it personally. And I wanted to put everything into it and not just to write a pretty book and rack up some sales. I really wanted to mouth to ear, really tell people practically, truly rubber meets the road stuff that is absolutely critical to masculinity, to virtue, to love, to war, the whole gamut, the stuff that, oh, I wish I'd known 20 plus years ago and I'm still wrestling with now.
Yeah. Yeah. I could tell that you put your heart and soul into this book, your heart, your soul, and your mind. You know, you're very well read. And I appreciate that because I don't want to take advice to some, you know, fuddrucker who doesn't know which end of the barrel the round comes out of. But you've been there. You've walked the walk, you know, and so I appreciate that. You know, I found myself thinking while I was listening to your audiobook that this guy is only 39 years old. And I'm 66. I'm 66 years old. I'm on my third marriage. And I found myself thinking, where was John Lovell 40 years ago when I could have used this information? Because, you know, if a man, a young man reads this book, it could save a lot of heartache and turmoil. Because if I'd have known everything that you were talking about and all the wisdom that you were imparted, you know, 40 years ago, I'd still be on my first marriage and it would have saved me a lot of pain.
I appreciate that. I praise my maker that my wife and I hung in there. It was a really tough first couple years. Marriage did not come easy to us as I was a pretty hard charging dude. I was an unstoppable force and she an immovable object. We met, we clashed, and it was pretty touch and go. And so really, we hit a stride in the third year and figured out a lot. And that was really helpful. But man, we had to fight for wisdom. I really appreciate what you just said there, Skip. That's not lost on me. I'm going to carry that with me today. Thank you.
Well, it's all true. And, you know, I appreciated the way you brought your wife into the book. I mean, you shared about your family, your boys, and, you know, Mrs. Poet. And I just really liked that because it made it all the more personal
And it seemed all the more real to me. And I go, hey, this guy's he's a real guy. He's like me, right? And, you know, you homeschool your kids, and Sarah and I, we homeschool our kids. And, you know, you're a very devout Christian man, and so am I. So, hey, man, I really love the book. We got about 1 minute left in this segment. John, why did you write this book?
It's because there's a crisis of masculinity, and our society and our world, frankly, needs warrior poets more than ever. That's people who understand that we're not meant to just be lovers or fighters. We're really supposed to be both. We're supposed to be lions and fully lambs at the same time, warriors and poets. And in that interesting paradox, in that dichotomy there, we find all the wealth and wisdom and strengths that a warrior brings to bear and the poet brings to bear. And it really takes both of these forces of nature to really round out and complete a man so that we can survive and thrive in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
That's awesome. All right, this is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Front Lines of Freedom. There's a lot more to talk about with John Lovell, so I want you to stay with us through the break. All right, now, folks, it's push-up time. I want you to do 100 push-ups, and if you're special forces, go ahead and do 200. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We will be right back.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Army Ranger John Lovell from the Warrior Poet Society. All right, John, when we left for the break, you've done your 200 push-ups now, but you're not even breathing hard. What's up with that?
I'm just that amazing. I did one-handed clapper push-ups, one-handed clapper.
Did you really?
Yeah, you figure out how that works, but I did it.
Well,
I did it while eating a sandwich.
Well, I can do it one time, but then my face hits the floor and I'm out cold.
Yeah, you got to use the bouncing momentum from your face on the ground to help propel yourself up to number two.
You know, in the last segment, I mentioned that you were very well read. And that's true. You really are. I mean, you quote people like Chesterton and G. Michael Hopf, a lot of great men. And you had a quote by G. Michael Hopf, which he's really one of my favorite authors, which is a little surprising to a lot of people because he's not that well known. He writes, you know, apocalyptic genre, which is what I write. So I kind of like it. He made this statement in one of his novels, "Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times." That cycle just keeps repeating and repeating. Tell us where you think we are right now in that cycle.
Sure. We're absolutely in the weak men creating hard times. They're already upon us just at the start. The really, really bad times still lie ahead. So avoid the very, very terrible mistake of inductive reasoning, saying, because in my lifetime, things have been relatively swell, surely they will continue. Our grandparents had a really, really tough period in their generation, as did our great-grandparents with the Great Depression, even. You know, our parents as well, Vietnam. And I don't know how it's going to shake out, but I do know extremely hard times are coming.
Yeah. Well, have you ever read a book called The Fourth Turning?
I have. Yes, I have.
Yeah. I mean, it fits right in with that whole cycle, that historical cycle. And according to the book, and they had a sequel come out called The Fourth Turning Is Here. It's just, we are in the middle of that fourth turning where the hard times are back upon us, and we're surrounded by weak men who are in positions of power. And it is so frustrating to be led and dominated by weak men.
That's right.
I just stated it's so frustrating. But talk about the importance of dangerous men. Why do we need to be dangerous?
Wonderful question. So a weak man is actually an extremely dangerous man. And so when Michael Hopp is giving that quote, when he talks about weak men, he's not saying people don't have a good deadlift and bench press. He's talking about moral weakness. So you could think about a politician who wields untold amounts of power, has massive amounts of money and influence, but they are selling out their vote and their opinion to the highest bidder. They took the briefcase of money. They are morally corrupt and weak men. Even though they're very powerful, they are weak. So when we talk about weakness in this sense, it's a moral virtue weakness. And so to counteract those weak men, like for instance, a tyrant would be a weak man in the sense that I'm discussing, we need virtuously strong men who can be able to stand in the gap and fight against them. So for instance, when you have a tyrannical person like Stalin or Mussolini, Pol Pot, or one of these types, Hitler, you need Churchills to be able to resist them. You need people that can stand up in the gap and fight them and say, I refuse to budge, even if you kill me. We're going to defend our island no matter what. And so that's what we have to be able to ready to counteract with. So dangerous men, we have them on both sides of the aisle. There's good and dangerous and bad and dangerous. And so we need good dangerous.
Yeah.
Because it's the only way to stop bad dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. I love Winston Churchill. Just the whole story, some of his quotes, you know, his speeches, they are just so incredible. And someone like Winston Churchill, George S. Patton, very strong warrior men, it frustrates me that these weak people get in trouble and then they call on the strong men, say, okay, come and save us. And then they come and save them. And then afterwards, when times are good again, they kick them off to the curb. And
that's right.
You talked in your book about Vietnam vets and how you kind of, you know, felt bad for them, because that's basically what happened to them. They went and they fought for their country and they came home and then they were spit on and called baby killers. There's a lot of good quotes. You said, when a man fears discomfort, danger is not far off. What do you mean by that?
Discomfort is a natural part of growing stronger. You want to get stronger as a man, you have to go through suffering. There's no shortcut and there's nothing else that can be done in place of it. And so when somebody is fearing all kinds of discomfort, make no mistake, you are weakening yourself. A man really needs to find ways, if they aren't readily before him already in his path, which is most often the case, we have to be able to push ourselves. You know, whether you're working out or you're taking jiu-jitsu or you're working a side hustle that's going to become a main vocation, or you're trying to romance a wife as your marriage has started going cold, or you're dealing with discipline issues with your kid, you got to be able to not hide from this stuff, but be willing to have uncomfortable conversations and to do very hard things. And it's through hard things we become hard men who are altogether useful to be able to defend a society and to build one. Discomfort is your friend.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that, because at 66 years old, I have a temptation to let myself get old and get weak, because the older you get, the harder it is to be uncomfortable. And, yeah. You know, every day, not every day, four times a week, I'll go down to a lake. I live up here in Michigan and it's fairly cold here right now. And I swim around this lake and it takes about an hour for me to do it. But it's like I was listening to your audiobook for the first time, and I hadn't been around that lake in close to a week. And I got convicted, Skip, you're letting yourself get soft. You need to be uncomfortable. You have to remember that you are a United States Marine. Even though you're old and just a shadow of your former self, you've got to get back to that, and you've got to maintain what you know you are to be inside.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Good job for you, man. That's good. I think, I mean, it just naturally leaks. And especially you get out of the military, you've done some hard stuff, you got kind of a resume under your belt. It's easy to kind of coast on the laurels of the past as we become monuments to what we once were instead of accomplishing anything today or pushing ourselves to a better tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you're not dead, bro. Find a new mission. Nobody gives a rip what you used to do. What are you doing now? And what are you going to do in the future? Go out, hurt yourself, get stronger, and make yourself a benefit to yourself, society, to family. Get out and earn, man.
Yeah.
And so I'm preaching to my own self right now as well, because I'm like, man, it leaks for me as well. And yeah. So I am not castigating everybody listening. I'm castigating everyone listening and myself.
Well, you know, you're middle-aged now. And so, yeah, gravity is an unrelenting force, right? I mean, it always works down, and that's in your future, in your present, actually. But I have no doubt that you will overcome. You're an Army Ranger. You're going to do what needs to be done. And so am I. And we need to encourage each other, John.
Well, very good. Well, I'm feeling proud. I did not eat the bun on my hamburger, so it's just a hunk of meat. And that was a sacrifice. That was my lunch just a couple hours ago. I've really wanted that bread.
All right.
But, you know, hey, man, you got to do what you got to do.
All right. That's true. Well, John, we're almost out of time for this segment, but will you please tell the listeners how they can learn more about the Warrior Poet Society?
Sure. Check out warriorpoetsociety.com. That's basically going to have everything from our books, our YouTube presence, to our streaming service and app with all of our classes. Also, our calendar for training classes. If you want to get into pistol, rifle, or entangled gunfighting, all kinds of cool classes and apparel. So anything you want to find out is that warriorpoetsociety.com.
John, you and I are going to meet someday, and I'm thinking it might be in a pistol class. Maybe during the colder months down south. That's what I'm thinking.
Come on.
All right. Well, John, thank you very much for your service to our nation. And thanks for being on Frontlines of Freedom today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. Well, this concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Steve Wilson about helpvet.net. Then we'll talk to Doug Giles, author of the new book, Lionhearted, Making Young Christian Males Rowdy Biblical Men. Then Quentin Roberts will, of course, review last week's Service Academy football games, and he'll share his view for this weekend's outcomes. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 30 good ones. But if you're a member of the Warrior Poet Society, don't stop at 30. Just keep going until you drop. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.